Hello and welcome to another edition of Animates, where we bring you stories about animals and the different ways we connect with them. This program is recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH network. I am Sarah Hewson, and today I'll be talking to Graham Maskell. Graham is a special education teacher at Gingin High School in Queensland and is instrumental in running a successful alpaca therapy program for school children with special needs. Graham, welcome. Maybe you could start by letting us know how you first started to use alpacas in this program.
Actually, Sarah, the alpaca program came out of one of the other school programs, which I started around about 2010 when I went to Gingin High School. We were looking at a way of engaging special ed students in a variety of different programs that would drive some positive outcomes for them. We started off actually doing some work with Landcare, and that evolved into a program called GAP, which was the Gingin Alternative Pathway Program. And I expanded the activities through community partnerships to include cattle, eventually various agricultural skill pursuits. And along the way during that time, I met an alpaca stud owner who happened to be also the president of the Queensland Alpaca Association, Fiona Lawton. So through that relationship, I actually developed some experience opportunities for students to go out and work with Fiona with the alpacas, and we included alpacas in our field days. So that was the very first introduction of alpacas and students in our school. I moved from the GAP program a couple of years ago, and some other people were involved, because we had opened up CU, Special Education Unit. We had an influx of students with low incidence disability and high needs. And so we had to come up with some ideas around the curriculum that would suit them. There were some behavioural, social issues with these students. So I went back and talked to Fiona Lawton and said, would you be prepared to trial a once weekly opportunity with the alpacas? I'll rely on your knowledge, I'll oversee it and try and tie the two things together in the classroom with other teachers, and let's see what the effect's going to be. That was the starting point in 2017.
Okay. With the alpacas, are they alpacas that are owned by the school, or are they Fiona's alpacas?
They're Fiona's and a couple of other stud owners that are partnering the school. And that's a very interesting point you raise, because the journey for us, we're controlled under animal ethics for schools. There's a regulation around that. And also these days there are large issues around biosecurity. You're talking about creating an agricultural area. And the school, in fact, has developed an agricultural farm which came out of the ag program, so we've managed to expand our interests for students to that extent. So since the television, the ABC program, number of schools talking to me about, oh, well, should we get some alpacas? And I've been strongly of the opinion that your most effective way of doing this is get together with an alpaca stud owner. In general, they're great people. They care about their animals, they're passionate, and the animals then come to the school but are not left to remain as a responsibility for the school.
So do you go off-site to her farm, or does she bring the alpacas to you?
We do both.
You do both?
Yeah, it's a combination. We go out to the stud and work out there with the handling and the program, and at least once a month, sometimes twice, the alpacas are transported to the school, because most of these alpaca owners have their own transport vehicles. They need that to get them around. So it's not a difficult thing, and they're just so enthusiastic about doing it. It's a fabulous partnership, it really is.
I was wondering what you would say with that, because you could see these alpacas escaping on school grounds and and running wild. The way you've told me now, you've got it all set up.
So, absolutely.
Sorry, it was creating quite a funny visual episode.
Sure. Well, there is another really important aspect, I guess, to that. Teachers are no different to lots of different professions. We'll get very enthusiastic teachers that will come into a school and they will start a program. It'll take off, it'll be fabulous, and not uncommonly then these people may get an appointment or they're moved on or they take higher positions. And guess what happens to the program?
You have to have somebody, I suppose, with the same enthusiasm, and that could be difficult.
Yes. Yeah. So if you include in your school program the partners, the people that own the alpacas, that are passionate, that have got huge knowledge, and you build that around a curriculum framework and establish that, what I've found is other teachers are really lined up saying, look, if such and such leaves, you know, I'd like to have a crack at running that program. Mm.
So with the students, what are they actually taught to do? Do they set anything up themselves? Do they set the obstacle course up?
What we're currently doing, we have certain obstacles set up in an area that's been dedicated for the alpaca program. And we're currently establishing a permanent course that will have some removable obstacles in that area, but landscaped, and so the students are going to be hands-on building this environment. So we're doing that at the moment, and every step of the way, the students are involved in developing their project. So it's not just what they do on Fridays with training. They do that. That's important. They go around and they take new alpacas that are unused to people, and they show their skills in forming a bond with the alpaca and moving through a series of set obstacles that are set up in the Alpaca Paraders Association. But again, we're not looking at the excellence in showmanship, we're looking at the relationship between these students developing confidence and forming a relationship with an alpaca and being able to run through a series of skill sets.
I understand that they're very gentle creatures, but
beautiful.
But they pick up very quickly if the handler is agitated.
Yes, they do.
So we'd be, I presume, very good for the student, or very calming for the student.
Yes.
So, because they know they wouldn't get anything out of the alpaca.
You're absolutely right. And that was one of the key drivers for the program. We know that an issue for kids these days, probably been around for a long time, but I guess more so, is anxiety. We live in a difficult world at times. So, you know, kids will come to school with already anxious about what's going to happen now with kids with disabilities ranging from ASD through physical disability, hearing, sight, whatever, their anxiety is increased. They're facing a different world. They're coming into this world where they're expected to do certain things that they perceive as difficult and they've got some barriers. What is in the literature and what I've found, and certainly what has been proved, is that working with these calm animals, and this was extraordinary. I didn't think it would happen, but it happened very quickly. You could see the reduction in their anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures that have been taken, the file of data that we've got, anyone looking at that go, oh, my goodness, look at the relationship between that boy. Now, if I was to turn around and say that boy was probably the noisiest, most out-of-control boy in the classroom, they go, oh, come on, that couldn't be right.
Are there many students in the actual program? Are they specifically selected, or do they opt to go into the program?
Only this afternoon I had an email from one of our feeder schools, one of our primary schools. They've been with us for about 6 months looking at the program. Can we bring 12 students along when you're at the school? So we've got a core of about 12 students, and these are the students that have come to the high school in Year 7. So every Year 7 student is going to be a part. It's in the SEU.
Yes, yeah.
One of those students is going to have the opportunity to be in the program. Now, they'll stay with us through 7 into 8, but depending upon how well they've done, because a number of our students from last year have gone on and they're back in the mainstream. They're working away in normal classes. So we've negotiated that they can still come into the program on Fridays. They can have a couple of hours and they can come down and be part of the program. And in fact, earlier this week, I had a mum ring up and talk to the head of the department and say, look, if my son can't do the alpacas, I don't want him to go into mainstream. The change for him has been enormous and I just want him to continue to have that experience. It's doing him so much good.
And do you envisage that the students who come in at 7 could be still carrying on with alpacas at year 12?
It's a great question because it leads to where our planning is. When I was in GAP, the Alternative Pathway Program, which was a hands-on project-based learning program, developed with a number of partners, with the Rural Fire Brigade, with graziers, people involved in horticulture and land care. When we developed GAP, we saw it as an opportunity when the high school started in Year 8 to take the students in Years 8, maybe, but certainly 9 and 10 into a hands-on experience. So in our structure now, we've got the SEU students coming in through 7 and 8. It is envisaged that they would probably be the candidates that would start to move off into a different learning pathway. So they may be GAP students in 9 and 10. Now, that prepares them for another initiative that we've got, which is our agriculture and trade program.
Yes.
So in years 11 and 12, we can cater for those students with disabilities, learning difficulties, whatever. We can cater for a continuous pathway for improved outcomes right through to year 12. And in fact, out of the GAP program, when we started that, the first cohort that left year 12, we had a dramatic increase of kids that had gone through school-based traineeships and picked up jobs straight away.
Is this something that's accepted by the rest of the school? Do these other students want to be involved? Do they, they think they're missing out?
Good question. To answer your first question, it has now been accepted by the school.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that change wasn't difficult. It was. You get teachers that are very excellent in physics, chemistry, math, English, history. They're really at the OP university pathway line. And they look at that and go, oh, I don't really understand why that's such a great thing. Can't we make them work harder to achieve this? The reality is, not everyone can go to university.
Yes.
Or maybe not straight away, anyhow. They may go later in life. There's plenty of evidence for that. You know, some people are not developmentally ready and may never be.
And so, you wouldn't want everybody to go to university
anyway. No, of course
you
wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. So there was a study by the Queensland University in conjunction with Victoria University called the Petra Project, and they came out some years ago and they're still writing up this project. One of the comments from the lead researcher was the normal secondary school education is a vertical transcendency. Coming in year 8 or whatever, and away you go. And then you're off to university. It's all vertically directed for the best and brightest. So what you've done is broadened that out, and now you have another vertical transcendency that recognises it's better to get into the early stages and create a pathway that will link to a successful outcome post-year 12. And that's literally what we've done. And it doesn't stop students from moving into year 11 and 12 if they suddenly find, you know, there's a fire lit. In fact, we've got one fellow that went through a GAP and he's now working for a local mining company and he's working in the laboratory.
Oh, right.
It's getting the learning started.
It seems to be a physical activity. At the moment, they're doing mainly the training and taking alpacas through an obstacle course and leading them and being calm with that.
Yes.
Does this follow through into their normal school activity? Are they then set a project where they write on their experiences?
Yes. That's really important because the stunning thing that occurred last year, our beginning teacher had that class most of the time, and she produced a booklet of the students' writing, which she gave to the partners. And I was really careful to question it. How much input did you have? And she said none, apart from helping them to get it set up and to type it all up, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, the head of the English department was present on a field day when these stories were read out. And she turned around to me and she said, that is amazing. You know, I'm struggling to get out Year 7s in mainstream to write anything near the length or the creativity and clarity of those stories.
My next question, which I think has probably been answered as well, is the response of parents. Obviously, the parents must be very supportive of what's happening.
Yes, they are. And it, again, you have to explain yourself very carefully. Some parents, you know, there are some difficult issues that are faced. I can tell you that one nonverbal autistic boy, that there was great worry because we went to Mullaney, which was a big trip, five-hour trip on the bus to go down and be a part of an alpaca day. And the parents were really quite concerned and stressed that he wouldn't survive, that he'd get upset. What are we going to do? He was away for whatever it was, 6 o'clock in the morning through until 6 o'clock that night. Had a perfect day.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a beautiful experience. So apart from in general, the program, and it has increasingly drawn huge support from parents. And I did a survey only a little while ago where I questioned the parents in areas of anxiety, general demeanor, their happiness, their communication at home, which is generally for people will hopefully be respond to this. You know, you ask your child, how was school today? I don't know. What did you do? Not much. There will not necessarily be a lot of communication. Mm. What they've noticed is that the kids are eager to talk about their alpaca experiences. Well, so we're tying a contextualized learning outside into the classroom activities, and the kids seem to be much more keen to talk about that, much more enthusiastic, mm-hmm. much more motivated.
I suppose it would be a good interaction for the children. I mean, as the program's going into its second year and then third year next year, would some of the students who started in the program be able to assist the younger students?
That structure will develop. So the ones that have already been in the program for over 12 months, with our incoming year 5 and 6 students that are going to come along to the school days, we'll create a mentoring program where they become junior trainers. So they'll take the young primary school students, again, under supervision.
Yes, yeah.
And they'll impart the knowledge that they've learned. They'll explain why they're doing certain things, talk to the kids. Now, it also creates a great transitional opportunity for these kids that can be reluctant, can be quite nervous about going to high school. Parents who are quite nervous about the bigger school and all the changes, it creates an opportunity for them to have some prior knowledge and to be more accepting and be more comfortable with, oh, yeah, no, that's great. I really want to go there. In fact, we had a boy that's been homeschooled for about 2 years. He's just turned up the last term, and he's increased his attendance. It's double what used to be with the school where he wouldn't go. So Mum reluctantly took him out and tried to homeschool him. That didn't work. He is now attending on an increasingly regular basis and very vocal about how great the Alpaca program is.
So he's attending particularly on the Alpaca Day.
Oh, won't miss an Alpaca Day, but he's turning up two or three other days a
yes.
week.
Well, that's fantastic.
For half a day anyhow, and then Mum picks him up. So we're negotiating, extending his time. He's highly anxious about being at school, but that's dropped away.
Yes. Is it true that they hum? I have this vision of them standing there when they're happy. That's also meant to create a very calming effect on the children.
Yeah. Look, you're right. Alpacas have been used as guards for lambs and for other animals, ostrich farms, the same way as the Marima dogs.
Yes.
And when they're agitated, they emit a very high-pierced, shrieking-type sound, very agitated. And everyone asks the question, do the alpacas spit on the students? Well, only where they're agitated, they will spit. And, of course, they'd kick too if that's the circumstance. They're very protective for young lambs and for animals that they see as part of a herd. They're a herd animal.
Yes.
But we haven't seen any situation where the alpacas have been anything but calm.
Yes.
In fact, at the end of our session today, we sat down in the staff room, had all the kids there. We had a morning tea with the alpaca partners. And we were talking about that with the students, and one of the partners said, you know, my most difficult alpaca is Honey. It's been impossible to try and settle her down. And she said, you know, I'm absolutely blown away because there's this young fellow with his arm around Honey's neck, and she's just standing there quietly looking at him, and they're just in a happy place.
It really does sound as if you're creating an excellent program there, and I hope it doesn't fall into the same category as you were mentioning before, where you leave and then nobody else wants to take it on. You
yep.
seem to have got the other teachers involved anyway, and if you get breeders involved as well, I suppose it also relies on the continuing efforts of the breeders as well.
Absolutely.
For next year, are you planning to develop the program and take it further, give more instruction? Do you think you'll ever have alpacas on site, or do you think that would be fun?
Yeah, I don't think we will have the alpacas on site. I don't believe that. I think the model is really good the way it is. For 2019, my intention is to go to the university where I did my master's and a local university campus.
Yes.
I'm going to talk to them about picking up the work that we've done in the last 18 months and devote next year to more quantitative testing around the question, why do we get this result with alpacas? We know that animals, animal therapy, horses, dogs, it all produces a reduction in anxiety. Why are we getting some of these other communication responses? Why is that happening? And the number of questions that need to be asked. And the data that I've got, I'd like to make that more rigorous.
Yes.
I'd like to test it against standardized data and say, look, hang on, well, no, we were wrong. We weren't getting the result that we thought we were. Or, hey, have a look at this. We've got data that can't be refuted. And I'd like to stretch it out. The transition from primary, the feeder schools, next year the ambition would be to have a few partner schools coming in and being part of it and finding schools that perhaps don't even come in our area.
You mean high schools?
No, or primary schools.
So just the feeder primaries.
Feeder primary schools. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And try and get that model to travel through to places like Bundaberg,
mm-hmm.
to Gladstone, where I've got contacts, and Rockhampton, where there are also alpaca studs. So I'm actually speaking at a conference in Sydney on Monday at the Special Education Principals and Leaders Association conference at Warwick Farm.
Yes.
That's going to be one of the key messages I want to put out, that a lot of classroom experiences can make great research, and we should be collecting that data to try and guide our curriculums to achieve even greater outcomes for students, particularly in the area of disability and students with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Try and look outside the box and say, okay, we can do this. The beauty of the alpaca situation is that there is a very large network and well-organized, well-developed network through the Alpaca Association. They've done a great job with their educational resource material and support for their owners. So I find them, not only the alpacas, I believe, the right choice for the schools, but the whole association and the owners are a nice fit with what we do.
Sounds as if everybody in the community has pulled together.
Mm.
But I do thank you very much, and I wish you all the best for the rest of this year and for the continuing program in 2019. And good luck at Warwick Farm next week.
Thank you for that, Sarah, and thanks for the opportunity to share our story with your listeners.
You have been listening to Animates. This program has been recorded in the studios of 2RPH Sydney for the RPH Network. Animates was created by Joe Van Cool. Katie Brooks is our very able technical producer, and Joseph Swanzer provides valuable background research. We hope that you found today's broadcast entertaining and that you will join us again in 2 weeks' time for another story of animals and their human mates. This is Sarah Hewson thanking you for your company and saying goodbye until next time.